It is one day after the elections. What can we learn from the Republican landslide? And are there going to be charges of Christian Sharia law in the air?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Today's broadcast is going to fill a void in the national discussion one day after the elections, because we're going to talk politics, but we're going to talk politics from a biblical perspective, from a kingdom perspective, from a spiritual perspective, and give you some practical thoughts that can help you be a world changer. Michael Brown, welcome to The Line of Fire. What are your thoughts on yesterday's election? What are your thoughts on the message that voters were sending? And do you think that the Republicans will do the right thing? Do you think that 2 years from now, the Republicans are going to be ousted because people are fed up with their failure and ineptness or spinelessness? Or do you think that people are going to say, well, we elected these people to do certain things and they have been keeping to their pledges? What are your expectations? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Or are you totally cynical? Doesn't matter who's in power, Democrat, Republican, it's the same old, same old. 866-348-7884. Let me tell you about my little election day encounter yesterday. Christy, if you happen to be listening, you'll be smiling all the more. All right, finished up radio yesterday. Originally, I wanted to go vote before my radio broadcast because I teach a class, a night class on Tuesdays at 7 p.m. So let's just say that things were really tied up and there were really long lines to vote. Then that would have been a problem after radio. I wasn't able to go in the morning. So as soon as I finished radio, recorded a quick video for something we were working on and then headed out the door. And initially, I went to the wrong school. The precinct I had to go to was at a middle school. I initially turned the wrong way into an elementary school, the other side of the block. So I'm making a U-turn. I thought, oh, no, look at this. This long, long, long line of cars backed up all the way down the block and around the block waiting to get into the parking lot. And I thought, if that's the cars waiting to get in, it could be hours. So I'm able to get in that line because I made a U-turn. I was able to get in without having to go all the way to the back of it. And I'm thinking, you know, just drive off, man. Once you try to get in, you're not going to be able to get out of the parking lot. It's going to take hours. You're not going to be able to vote. And I thought, I got to vote. I've been talking about voting for judges. I've been talking about people I was going to vote for in the election and so on. So I thought, all right, I'll get up close enough. There's a woman helping people park, and I'll ask, what is the wait for voters? And she said, oh, I have no idea. This is just, she said, we end at 4:15 for school. She said, people are just, this is just a carpool. They're just picking up students. That's all. It's just carpooling. She said, if you should have gone in another parking lot, the other side there. She said, but I'll help you get in. And so once I get in, the parking lot is filled with spaces, empty spaces. I walk in, there's no line at all. There's no line at all. So they give me a form, just fill out for a name and address and that information. And there's a young woman to my left. She's filling it out. So I'm just small talking, chatting, you know, being friendly like I normally would be. And I hear this other woman. Bear in mind, our heads are both down and we're writing, but she's hearing me talking. She said, I recognize your voice. I said, maybe you listen to my radio show? Because I'll have people run up to me that see me on TV or have heard me speak. But this was just based on voice because we weren't looking at each other. She said, are you Dr. Michael Brown? She was so excited, gave me a hug. She's in the midst of, she and her husband listening to my debates with Dr. James White on predestination and election. I said, tell you what, I said, give me your address. We'll send you a little care package. So I just put together some DVDs and some things to send out to her. But that was sweet. That was so encouraging. They listen to the show all the time. So if you happen to be listening, God bless you. Thanks for the enthusiastic support and excitement. And we're going to have an awesome broadcast today. I got a whole lot to share with you.
we want, for fire we please.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So what are your thoughts one day after the elections? Are you excited? Are you depressed? Are you indifferent? Do you think that the Republicans are going to bring about positive change? Do you think that they'll be able to stop President Obama from doing things that are negative, destructive for the country? Do you feel they'll get in his way from progress in the country? Do you think that 2 years from now that we'll be looking back and saying, hey, the Republicans were given a mandate and they stood up and did what was right? Or once more, politics as usual, no real change? What are your thoughts? 866-34-TRUTH. Before I go to the phones, I want to say as plainly as I can that although I am pleased with the results for many reasons, which I'll give you, for example, quite a few pro-abortion candidates were displaced and pro-life candidates were elected in their place. That alone is very, very positive. And I'll explain why it's positive for some who are cynical, for some who say nothing ever changes. I was just reading a post online where someone was saying, look, George Bush, Republicans did nothing to change abortion laws and so on. Well, I'm looking at articles from National Right to Life Committee, from others, other pro-life news sites. President Bush will leave strong pro-life legacy on abortion, bioethics issues. Bush had best pro-life record of any president, say pro-life groups. These are folks who follow this. In contrast, sadly, President Obama, as the Susan B. Anthony list declares and others have, and this is self-evident, the most pro-abortion president ever, even favoring late-term abortions. It's a matter of choice for a woman. These things have an impact. They may not have the level of impact that we want with radical change, but they do have an impact. And there is the issue of public opinion. President Obama shifting his views on redefining marriage and going back to what he had earlier declared when he was first running for Senate, that he supported redefining marriage, same-sex so-called marriage, and would oppose any opposition to that. Then saying, well, no, when he was running for president, marriage is a union for man and woman. It's a sacred thing to me. I'm a Christian. And then saying, well, my views have evolved on it. And you know, love is love. And now campaigning for it actively, the Attorney General Holder campaigning for it actively. These things have an impact on a country. Public opinion and the view of the president, outspoken president, they do have an impact, for better or for worse. In this case, tragically, for worse. But although I'm pleased with the results, North Carolina, Tom Tillis edging out Kay Hagan. I'm pleased with that. Tom Tillis had already asked permission to defend the state's constitutional amendment, saying that marriage is a union of a man and a woman, when the attorney general would not. I appreciate him doing that and making that effort. These are major, major issues that affect the society. That being said, without sweeping revival in the church, we're going nowhere. Oh, the Republicans may do good in certain ways. Obviously, many want to repeal Obamacare. Every doctor I have talked to and every medical person I've heard from has talked about Obamacare being a disaster, that there's got to be a better way to help the uninsured than Obamacare. And remember, this is not a derogatory name that I'm using. This is the chosen name. It's called Obamacare, and this was looked at as a great accomplishment. Will they be able to repeal Obamacare? Could they overcome vetoes from the president? Seems virtually impossible, but they can make certain efforts. They can go in certain directions. I could go through a number of things in terms of when people say, well, what difference does it make? All right, you tell me, if you live in New York, having Governor Cuomo as the governor, all right, having Andrew Cuomo as your governor and having him push as aggressively as he did for the redefining of marriage, did that have an impact? Having Governor Perry in Texas standing strongly for pro-life, did that have an impact? Yes, these things have impacts. Look, I want to see everything change radically overnight. I want to see the whole nation shaken. I want to see God move in such a way that you can't even recognize America, because so many people have come to faith and so many people have been transformed and so many people have found liberation and so many people have found new life. And there's a strengthening of marriages and families, beginning among heterosexuals who need to repent. There's a strengthening of foundations of morality and purity. There's foundation of strengthening of honor. And I want to see that happen. And I'm not looking to the political system for that to happen. I am not looking for the political system for that to happen. It's not going to happen through the political system. Politics has its place. Last night after getting home from teaching and doing some writing and helping Nancy with some things, getting ready for a trip, because as soon as the show is over, I leave for Hungary, about 18 hours of travel, and I should be arriving at my hotel, and then a couple hours after that, coming away live from Hungary, Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, live from Hungary, then special guest host Alex McFarland on Friday. I actually miscalculated things a little bit, thought I had about 5-6 hours before my show when I get in. I'll have just a few hours, but it'll be great. Can't wait to be in Hungary for my very first time and do a Thoroughly Jewish Thursday live broadcast from Hungary. But anyway, after helping Nancy out, getting some stuff ready for my trip, some foodstuffs, and then some writing, I said, now I'm going to do a workout, just hit an intensive 35-minute workout at home. That alone is not going to totally transform my health, but it plays a role. The workout plays a role, and obviously diet plays the bigger role. But the point is, everything has its place. Politics has its place. Voting has its place. Someone says, yeah, but the elections were where I was, the two candidates, one was no good in this way, one was no good in the other way. But there are other people running. There are others running. There are judges that could make a difference. There are other elected officials that could make a difference. And when we don't vote, we can't blame someone for the negative results, can we? One more thing, and going to the phones. For those who have a stereotype view of the Republican Party, and I'm an independent, I'm not a registered Republican. It just feels funny for me personally, even though I voted virtually all Republican yesterday. Some races I wasn't familiar with and I didn't have the info with me. But in point of fact, I'm not registered as Republican. To me, it just feels funny personally. That's just me. So I'm independent in that respect. But people have a certain stereotyped view of the Republican Party. But are you aware that in South Carolina, Tim Scott was the first Black elected congressman since shortly after the Civil War? He was serving because the previous one had stepped down, but he was not elected. The first statewide election with an African-American winning in South Carolina, and that was Republican. How about in Utah, where Mia Love won her election? She is Congress's first Black Republican woman. And then you have other Republican women. You have women like Elise Stefanik, who 30 years old, she's the youngest woman ever to be elected to Congress, obviously to the House in upstate New York. So you have noticeable gains for African Americans, for women that have been elected by the Republican Party, for those who have a stereotype view. So again, I'm not on the air today to celebrate the Republicans. I am pleased with the election results for a number of reasons. I don't know what's going to happen in terms of how they are going to respond, but I am positive overall for that part. The bigger part is, what's the church going to do? Because without revival in the church, our society is going to continue to decline. Phyllis in Yonkers, New York, thanks for calling the Line of Fire. What are you thinking today?
Hi, Dr. Brown. You know, the Republicans, they came out really good last night up in where I live in Westchester. And, you know, only a little over 3 million people came out to vote. but it was nice to see that they voted for the Republican Astorino for governor. And Cuomo last night, he was just so bragging about the women's rights and what they were going to get. I don't know how much more they want. They have just about everything they need. And but he never mentioned anything about jobs, about these people, hundreds of thousands of people that are out of work. Where are these jobs coming from? They have no other income coming in. All of their resources, that they're gone, and they have no jobs. But he never mentioned anything that he was going to do about bringing back jobs to our you know, around our country. Yeah. Here.
And you know it's any politician that's elected where the economy is tight, I think, Phyllis, they're going to make promises and they're going to do XYZ for jobs. Do they deliver? Yeah. Do they deliver? I'm pretty skeptical on that unless they have a radical new economic plan. Hey, thanks for weighing in, Phyllis.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, the Republicans have been given a mandate. The mandate is to turn back what they believe are the negative things that President Obama and the Democrats have done. Will the Republicans deliver? Now, again, you're going to have massive division, because the president is now going to be completely divided from the House and the Senate. And there will be attempts to do things by executive order that will be opposed. The amnesty debate is going to be very, very intense. So each one is going to be limited on a certain level of what they can do, not what they're going to try to do. But do you think that the Republicans are going to deliver? Do you think that they will bring about positive change? Do you think that it's just going to be more of the same? By the way, Betsy, our David's call is for another day, not for today. But anyway, that's a Friday call, all right? So, yeah, only taking calls relative to what's happened with the election. So what are your thoughts? How are you feeling today, the day after? Is this positive for you? Negative for you? Or are you completely indifferent? I wrote an article, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I wrote an article 2 years ago called Chris Matthews' Abortion and Sharia Law Hysteria. And I was thinking about some of the issues that now that you have many pro-life candidates who've been elected, now that you have Republicans who've been elected, some of whom, not all by any stretch of the imagination, but some of whom are conservative Christians, that you're now going to hear increased cries of this is just like Islamic Sharia law, and they're just trying to take over the country and enforce their morality on us and all this stuff. So I started to write about it, and I went back to the article I wrote 2 years ago and thought, no, this is totally relevant. Every quote in this article is totally relevant. So I posted it. You can read it by going to AskDrBrown.org and just checking on latest article. Make sure we've got it up there. Yep. So you can read it by going to AskDrBrown, SKDRBrown.org. Click on latest article when you're there. But I talk about 2 years ago that Chris Matthews claimed that the Mitt Romney-Paul Ryan position on abortion was almost like Sharia. May of 2012, when Reverend Billy Graham took out full-page ads in North Carolina newspapers stating in part, the Bible is clear, God's definition of marriage is between a man and a woman. I want to urge my fellow North Carolinians to vote for the marriage amendment. Gay activist Wayne Besson responded by asking, do we now make our civil laws based upon Christian Sharia? This is meant to be taken seriously. Marcos Moulitsas, founder of the radically left-leaning DailyCoast.com, published an entire book on these themes in 2010 entitled American Taliban, How War, Sex, Sin, and Power Bind Jihadists and the Radical Right. This is 2010. This rhetoric has been out there. I've been writing about how it's intensifying and increasing, and conservative Christians are being compared to Boko Haram or ISIS, these insane ridiculous, defamatory, false comparisons. Already in May 2005, the late John McCandless Phillips, formerly a Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter, wrote an article in the Washington Post where he said that those who advocate Christian morality are now being compared to jihadists. This is only going to increase. So rather than write a new article, I just posted this one again with an opening line and then a closing line saying, okay, you've been forewarned. So let's see if I'm accurate here. But I'm just expecting, it seems just self-evident to me, that with conservative Christians getting some of the votes, with many pro-life candidates getting voted in, that you are going to hear increasing cries, just like Sharia. No, this would be Sharia. Sharia law would be that a practicing homosexual is hung. Sharia law would be an adulterer is beheaded. Sharia law would be if it was Christian, okay? There's no such thing as Christian Sharia law, but let's just hypothesize here. If you claim to be a Christian and you don't practice your faith, that there will be severe penalties. That would be Sharia law. And that freedom of religion and freedom of the press is non-existent. And if you are a Christian under so-called Christian Sharia law, which is non-existent, okay, just for argument's sake, then if you convert to Islam or you convert to Judaism or something, then you could be put to death or at the least severely punished for that. That would be, quote, Sharia law. But if we advocate for morality, if we say we are jealous for the life of the baby in the womb, and therefore we want to overturn Roe v. Wade, and we want to raise up more pregnancy crisis centers to give alternatives to women who are thinking about abortion, and we want to raise a culture of adoption that cares for the needy, and that's all part of the pro-life mentality. How in the world are you going to compare that to ISIS or Boko Haram unless you are just lying through your teeth or totally deceived? 866-34-TRUTH. The second hour today, which unless you live in Charlotte, North Carolina, you do not get the first and the second hour live on radio. Charlotte's the one and only city so far that could expand around the country in coming days and years by God's grace. You'll have to listen online. But remember, free podcast subscriptions are available, or you can just listen online whenever you get a chance on our own website, or you can listen live online during the show. Just go to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org. But in the second hour, I'm going to talk about pitfalls to watch out for. Pitfalls to watch out for. If you want to see the culture change through the gospel, there are potential pitfalls, so I'm going to talk about that in the second hour today, and I think you'll find it really helpful, so I encourage you to go to the website, and when you're there, check out the latest video. We put on the radio, on YouTube, with some graphics added in, my 10-minute interview with Matt Moore, as to why he does not define himself as a gay Christian. I think you'll find that really helpful and edifying. And then our special resource offer could not be more practical. The 60-page mini book, A Stealth Agenda, is yours free. No hype, but we only have a limited number of copies. Those were produced by another ministry, and then we were able to get a limited amount for our own ministry. It is a condensation of four of the key chapters from my 700-page book, A Queer Thing Happened to America. You get that free when you order the DVD of my two-hour debate with gay activist Harry Knox, who claims to be a born-again Christian. You'll really find enlightening how we approach that, the spirit in which I approach it, the biblical truths we share, and it'll be eye-opening for you to see his approach as well. It's 2 hours. It's $20. We'll pay the postage and we'll give you the book free, Stealth Agenda. All right, but seriously, we only have limited copies. So call 1-800-278-9978, 1-800-278-9978, or on the website, right on the homepage, askdrbrown.org, 1-800-278-9978. Don't put your trust in any party. Put your trust in God and work with the parties.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, here's some really interesting exit polls. Interesting exit polls published by Fox News. Kate on Facebook, frequent commenter, thank you for posting this on Facebook itself. It's important to look at. The point being that the church needs to wake up. The point being the people of God need to wake up. 866-34-TRUTH, how are you feeling the day after the elections? What do you think the implications of these elections will be? Where do you think this is going to take the country in the next 2 years? I've been sharing a lot of my own thoughts, a whole lot more that I do want to share with you. But I've said for years that if Christians, born-again Christians, stop using pornography and watching trashy movies, it would bring a massive blow to the industry, to porno industry and to the trash movie industry. If born-again Christians stopped watching pornography and stopped watching trashy movies, it would make a major difference in the culture. If born-again Christians quit divorcing without biblical cause, it would have a massive impact on marriage. Born-again Christians, the problems start with us because we have greatest responsibility and accountability. I look at these exit polls for whatever it's worth, and it's, let's see. How many? They sampled like 19,000-something respondents. I'm sure they're trying to be scientific. Let's see. Out of those voting, 49% male, 51% female. Among Democrats, though, it was 41% of the men and 51% of the women. But Republicans were 57% of the men and 47% of the women. So that's where the results were. Age groups, 18 to 29-year-olds made up just 13% of the vote. And they were mainly Democrat. 30 to 44-year-olds made up 22% of the vote. And they were slightly more Democratic. 45 to 64 made up 43% of the vote, and they were strongly Republican. 65 and over made up 22% of the vote, and they were overwhelmingly Republican. So that's very interesting in terms of the older voters bringing about the change and the younger voters. So 18 to 44-year-olds only making up 35% of the voters, and 65% being 45 or older. Now, when you go down further, white voters, 75% of the vote were white, 12% black, 8% Latin, Hispanic, Latino, Hispanic, 3% Asian, 2% other. Of the Asians, slightly more Democrat. Hispanic, Latino, 62% to 36% Democratic. Blacks, 89% to 10%, overwhelmingly Democratic, and whites, 60% to 38%. So it's interesting that the white vote was predominantly Republican, but not even two-thirds. The black vote was 90% Democrat, and the Hispanic vote was two-thirds Democrat. Again, very, very enlightening in terms of statistics. But the thing that's most distressing is how many attend church on a regular basis. Protestant voters attend church weekly. They amounted for 15% of the vote, and it was 67% of the Republican voters said they attend church weekly, and 31% of the Democrats. Isn't that fascinating? Okay? It is really fascinating. And then Protestant who do not attend weekly, how does that work out? That was 14% of the vote and 61% of Republicans. So those voting who were Catholic or Protestant who attend church regularly amounted to only 26% of the total vote. Interesting. So some more stats. White evangelical or white born-again Christians amounted to 26% of the vote. Interesting.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. How are you feeling the day after the elections? One more bit from the exit polls, and then I'm going to the phones. Okay, let's just search for this. All right, here you go. According to the exit polls, should your state legally recognize same-sex, so-called marriage? It was 48% yes, 48% no. All right, so that would be a rise from where it was previously, but with all the push, with all the media, with the media bias, with the president's push and all of this, still, it's a nation divided over this. And many of the states are upset because the will of the people has been overturned. But significantly, 67% of the Democratic voters said yes, marriage should be redefined. 31% of Republicans said yes. 27% of Democrats said no. 72% of Republicans said no. As for abortion, again, these are according to Fox exit polls, which comes closest to your position? Abortion should be legal in all cases. That was 23% of the voters. Legal in most cases, 29% of the voters. Illegal in most cases, 27%. Illegal in all cases, 17%. So that means it was 52% versus 44% in terms of the respondents. 74% of Republicans said legal in all cases, 74% of Democrats, yikes, and 24% of Republicans. Conversely, 28% of those are the ones saying legal in all cases, illegal in all cases, 28% of Democrats, 71% of Republicans. So you've got a massive difference on these issues between Republicans and Democrats, even though you still have a slight majority or a majority saying abortion should be legal. Again, what exactly does that mean? In all cases, that's a general statement. That's what's broken down. All right, 866-34-TRUTH. Holly in Queens, New York, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, hi. Thank you for your service to, to our nation, right? I'm a Democrat. I'm black. I voted yesterday. And first of all, you know, I'm listening to you, and you said something about Obamacare.
Yeah.
Okay. I kind of do think that it's still a derogatory title for it. It's really the Affordable Care Act, whether you agree or not. Obamacare actually is a derogatory.
Let me just say this. I would never use it if that was the case. I only used it because it's universally used, including by the proponents. And this was something that President Obama was very proud of and hence was proud to have his name associated with it. But I would never use it. And I promise you, I will look to see how it started and if the president uses it and those close to him use it. And if it's derogatory, I will drop it. I assure you, because I'm not using it in that way. You bet.
The Affordable Care Act. And so now, I did not vote Republican, right? But I see the good in the democratic system that we have, right? Where you don't have one, you don't have to have one party making all of the rules, because you actually do need both of the parties to balance each other out. A lot, as you were saying in your poll, the majority of the black vote is Democratic, right?
Yeah, 90%. Yep.
Right. Now, let me say this. Now, we are socially, many of us are socially conservative. Okay?
Yep, I understand.
Yeah. So we're socially conservative. So it just so happens that the fiscal part of it, right, we're not happy with what happened with a lot of the tax cuts, especially that came from the Republican Party, because they did a lot of tax cuts. It went to business, and it did not trickle down. So, but that being said, because we're socially, a lot of us, I can't speak for everybody, I can speak for myself, but I know that a lot of people agree with me, a lot of us are socially conservative, Democratic, but Christian and socially conservative. We're not happy either with what's going on with the same-sex marriage, what's going on with all of these things that are against the Bible, all right? So hopefully your broadcast can be a forum for bringing the parties together, because God doesn't have a party. He has the Bible. He gives us the Bible. So regardless of what party you're in, America needs to go back to the Bible.
I'm with you on that. And Holly, I'm delighted that we can have this conversation. And listen, it's a struggle for me. I've used this show now for over 6 years to really understand people better from all walks of life, every color, ethnicity, different groups, different backgrounds. As I travel around the world, I always go with a listening ear to try to understand culture differently. Because your first reaction, you see something different, you go, that's not right. But no, that's sometimes just a cultural thing, you know? Or we may eat with a knife and fork, and you go somewhere else, they use chopsticks, you go somewhere else, they use their hands, you know, and it's all cultural. So just having a talk believer to believer, Holly, I really struggle with the mentality that you could vote for a candidate thinking it'll help economically, knowing, though, that that's going to be a pro-abortion candidate or a pro-gay activism candidate. But I'm not you. In other words, I'm not in your shoes. We each have our own background, how we were raised, and I was raised a Jewish kid on Long Island and so on. So I listen. You know, I listen without judging your vote, just like you listen without judging my vote. But just help me understand. So this is not critical. This is simply for understanding. If you know that a Republican candidate is going to be strongly pro-life and is going to stand against redefining marriage, but you don't think that candidate is sensitive to the needs of the poor. So that's a great issue. I mean, that's needs of the poor are a great issue, according to God's word, absolutely. If we care about the living in the womb, we better care about the living outside of the womb.
Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. So what kind of I would, in conscience, I couldn't vote for a candidate that I knew was pro-abortion. So I really wanted to be able to cast a vote for the first Black American president, but I couldn't, in conscience, because of knowing where he stood on abortion and redefining marriage. So explain to me the conflict that you experience as a socially conservative African-American Christian. Just so our listeners can understand, too. White listeners maybe need to understand better. But I'm asking not to be critical, but for discussion.
All right. Well, I think we need a happy medium, because if we use abortion as the only criteria, all right, if they're for abortion or they're against abortion, anyone can say that they're for abortion or against abortion. That does not necessarily mean that they're for promoting God's word and godly principles in America just because they're for against abortion. I'm against abortion. When I voted for President Obama, he said he was against it too. All right, and the same sex marriage, he said that he was against all of that. What's happening is the alternatives that we're faced with. I think now that we have a Democratic president and we have a Republican Congress and Senate, I believe this will be the best kind of mix where we can get some. Now that depends. This depends on whether now that we have Republicans in the Congress and the Senate, are they going to take all of their time and all of the money that's going into these houses? Are they going to spend all this time trying to undo what they call Obamacare? Or are they going to go forward with a referendum of, all right, we are bringing America back to God? That has nothing to do with deleting Obamacare. That has to do with getting some anti-abortion legislation, That has to do with the defense of marriage. That
Got
has
it.
To do with, you know, that kind of stuff. That's what we need you to do. We don't need to fight this other Obamacare thing.
Yeah.
That's not and, what we need. We need America to come back to God.
Got it. All right. Hey, Holly, great conversation. Thank you very much for the call. Thanks for being a listener as well. I've got a break. That's why I just jumped in. And let me just say this. The President's Affordable Health Care Act is putting a lot of pressure on doctors and hospitals and is hurting people. If we can help people in terms of health care, I want us to. As far as going back to God, obviously Republicans are still the secular party, but yes, am I wanting them to be strong on pro-life, to fight against redefining marriage, and to help with the economy, among other things, and do the right thing with immigration? Absolutely. But Holly, thank you very much for the discussion.
Give us strength to always do what's right.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. I just want to speak from my heart for a moment the day after the elections. Do you know what it means to me to have your trust that some of you have listened to me regularly for years and you know my heart, and we can talk about really controversial issues. We can wade through difficult situations like Ferguson, Missouri situation with my namesake, young Michael Brown and Officer Darren Wilson. We could wade through really difficult situations, Trayvon Martin's death at the hands of George Zimmerman. We can talk about potentially inflammatory issues and say, hey, we love Jesus. We have different perspectives based on life, history, different things. Let's interact. Let's learn from each other. And it blesses me so much that we are able to do that. And that we learn from each other, and that there's trust that you know my heart and my solidarity with you. If you're in the Lord, regardless of your background, your upbringing, your ethnicity, your color, your gender, you know my solidarity with you. And I know that you have the ability to talk to me honestly. Because Obamacare is used derogatorily by some, I won't use it. Last caller, Holly from New York, said that it is derogatory. I said, well, I've seen it used kind of universally on all sides, and it's something that I believe the president was proud of, hence having his name in it was fine. But just looking in the couple minutes that I have in the midst of the radio show breaks and things like that, it's considered derogatory in some circles, so I'm not going to use it. I'll talk about the issue, but I'm not going to talk about it in a derogatory way. I differ profoundly with President Obama, and it was clear to me based on his track record and statements he made before he was elected president that unless God changed his heart, he would be the most radical pro-abortion, pro-redefining marriage president we ever had, as well as a weak friend of Israel at best. Tragically, those things have played out, but I wish I was wrong on all of them. I wish I was wrong. I wish he had shined in so many of these ways. And look, he's massively disapproved. President Bush was massively disapproved. You know, it's tough being president. And you get elected as a rock star president, meaning you're speaking to crowds, massive crowds around the world, get a Nobel Peace Prize before you've done anything. It's almost guaranteed to fail because you're going to fall short. People are going to put too much expectation in you. But I think it's a fair question to say, why is it that white voters are voting predominantly Republican, all right, say, you know, 60%, 40% Republican or higher than that. Black voters are already voting 90% Democrat. If it was like that for white voters, we were 90% a particular way, that I'd wonder about that. Now, you might say, well, what about white evangelicals? That's fair. That's why we have these conversations. It goes back and forth. It goes back and forth. Anyway, one more call. Betty in Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. I'm registered an independent, but probably that lean toward more the Republican Party. I'm a black lady. I've been through Jim Crow. I have been through the Civil Rights Movement. I'm a mother. I'm also, first of all, I'm a child of God. And America is not guaranteed, you're not guaranteed an income in America. You're guaranteed a chance to achieve a greatness if you so desire. That's why so many people come to our shores. But the division, you have to go to the Word of God, not to cast dispersions on any other caller, but the book tells us if we shed innocent blood, no matter how we shed it, God hates people who shed innocent blood.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the trickle-down theory, we're not entitled to other people's income. We live in a country, praise God, where we can make our own income. The independent thing as the trickle-down thing, we have opportunities here to open our own business. If we don't like the business that we're employed by, you have the right to do as any other person, to stretch as far as you can. And this is these racial division lines among us is spurred on. This literature that came out this year, this is the kind of stuff they used to put out a long time ago. Mention the literature, little black children holding up signs, "Don't shoot me." How degrading. These people should be sued, absolutely sued, for degrading another human being like that.
Yeah, Betty, thank you for being so articulate and for sharing a perspective that you could share many ways better than me. You know, I know the trickle-down theory. I'm no economist, but the trickle-down theory is not so much that a business gets wealthy and then their wealth comes down to you, but that it helps create opportunity and jobs for others. But this much is clear. The idea that anyone deserves a handout, whoever the person is, whatever their ethnicity or background, and that the government's somehow obligated to help that person, that's problematic, and that's a Republican criticism of Democrats, that it feeds, their mentality feeds into a handout system.
And also, President Obama, I pray for him, and he uses Obamacare in his own statement.
Yeah,
so
those are his
statements. You are right. He takes credit for the Affordable Care Act. He uses the word Obamacare, which Obamacare has disenfranchised me from my doctor that I had for 20 years.
Oh, it's terrible.
Senior black people don't understand. They cut $7 billion away from seniors. I am not anti-immigrant. But as long as we think we can take care of the world and the world puts nothing in the pot, we are going to go over the cliff, because everything we're doing in this country is against the word of God.
Yeah, Betty, I've got the end of the hour coming up here.
And your lovely wife. Thank you so much.
Hey, Betty, thank you for the conversation. And yes, I've only used the term Obamacare because I've understood that it was universally used and that it was used in a positive way because the president was proud of it. Because it's offensive to some, and I don't want that to be the issue, I'll speak of it different. I'll speak of the president's health care act only because I don't want to offend someone that would be listening. But Betty, yes, your comments are right. Bottom line to me, though, again, just my perspective, I could not under any circumstance vote for a candidate that I knew was pro-abortion. I simply couldn't. I'd have to sit an election out if those were my only choices because of what God says about shedding innocent blood. You say that's being one issue. Yeah, if I lived in the days of slavery, I would have been one issue too. Yeah, there are times in history where being one issue is important, although that's one of several key issues. Betty, God bless you. Thank you for the great call. And thank you, friends, for the great discussion. Please go to my website, AskDrBrown.org. Click on latest article. You'll want to read it. It'll tell you what I believe is going to be coming next. Also, check out the latest video. You'll want to watch that as well. And please take advantage of this week's special offer. Genuinely speaking, not hype, we have a limited number of resources available. So take advantage of that, AskDrBrown.org. My bottom line today, overall, I'm pleased with the election results, but I'm not putting my trust in the Republican Party. Without revival in the church, America is going nowhere. It is one day after the elections. What can we learn from the Republican landslide? And are there going to be charges of Christian Sharia law in the air?
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Yeah, the great majority of Republican voters do not feel that things are going in the right direction. But amazingly, according to Fox Exit poll, 82% of Democratic voters felt the country is going in the right direction. Overall, though, seriously off on the wrong track, 65% of voters. Michael Brown, welcome to our post-election day broadcast, where we will do what we normally do and be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. We will be your listener-supported voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution and bring a kingdom perspective on the news. I did vote yesterday right after radio. I had a surprise encounter with one of our faithful listeners who recognized my voice as our heads were both down filling out a form, and I was chatting with someone, and that was just a sweet moment to hear the enthusiasm and the excitement. And I had some great interaction with callers in the first hour, different perspectives from voters. I want to bring you some kingdom perspectives today. I want to talk about having a real vision and burden to change the world and to see society changed, and yet potential pitfalls that we can experience. If you miss any part of the broadcast, it's all archived. A few hours after the show, just go to my website, AskDrBrown, askdrbrown.org, and you'll be able to click to listen on the link, or you can subscribe by free podcast as well. Hey, can I ask for your prayers, and then I want to throw some questions out to you and take your calls. In fact, let me throw the questions out first. Day after the elections, how are you feeling overall? Are you pleased with the results? Displeased? Do you think that this Republican landslide is going to bring about any positive change? Do you think it's not going to be possible with the deadlock that we can expect between the president and Congress? Do you think there can be change, or do you think it's more of the same, same old, without God moving, without revival in the church, nothing's going to change? Or is this a major step in the right direction on certain key issues? One of the biggest things, as reported on LifeNews.com, Stephen Ertelt, he proclaims a huge victory as pro-life candidates win nationwide, take over Senate from pro-abortion Democrats. And it's one after another after another. In terms of governors, in terms of congressmen who were pro-life and who have ousted pro-abortion Democrats, to me that's a positive. What will they do? Will there be fruit from that? 866-34-TRUTH, eager to hear from you. But if you could just remember to pray for me over the next 24 hours or so, that would be awesome. Right after the show, got to deliver laundry to my 92-year-old mom, and then my wife and I do it for her, and I've just got to drop it off or go home, have a super quick meal, and then head to the airport, got my bags packed to fly to Hungary. So fly from Charlotte to Atlanta, from Atlanta to Amsterdam, from Amsterdam to Budapest. I should arrive about 18 hours after leaving my house, but that means I'll have just a couple of hours to get set up before doing live radio from Hungary. Thoroughly Jewish Thursday, speaking at one of the largest churches in Europe, 70,000 members, 3 meetings. But one unique thing about them, they have a tremendous heart for Israel. They were formed under communism. They have a tremendous heart for Israel. Amazing, isn't it? So if you just pray for grace, strength, for good sleep on the planes, I'm indebted to you. All right, back with your calls.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Just a few interesting notes on the elections. 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. If you, and let me be clear, I voted for Republican candidates for Senate, for House, for judgeships. The candidates that I knew of that stood for the moral values I stand for, I voted for, and they happened to all be Republican. There are some things, a few I missed because I just wasn't familiar with what was what or who was who. But that's how I voted. But I am not a registered Republican. I'm independent. And to me, I'm not registering with either party because it's issues that I stand for. And my own sentiments today are I'm pleased with the results, but I have questions as to what it's going to mean. I'm pleased with the results. I don't know if in 2 years there won't be a mandate against the Republicans like there's a mandate against President Obama and the Democrats right now. However, I'm pleased with the fact that we have so many more pro-life, pro-marriage candidates, and I imagine most of them are more strongly pro-Israel than their Democratic counterparts. But I just want to throw this out. When you look, say in New York State, the vote to redefine marriage, the ones voting against it were Republicans. The ones voting for it were Democrats. If four Republicans did not cave in and capitulate and come up with an accommodation for religious groups, then it would not have passed. Marriage would not have been redefined in the state of New York when the vote took place, all right? So I see, for example, with the President's Health Care Act, also known as Obamacare, but a term I won't use, even though the presidents use it, others have used it, as I understand, in a positive way, but because some are offended by it, I don't want that to be the issue. Republicans overwhelmingly voted against it. Yeah, we need to do what we can to make healthcare more affordable for the needy. But from everything I understand, the President's Health Care Act has been a disaster for so many. I've heard from so many doctors and medical professionals, and a caller just called in last half hour to say that she was separated from her doctor of, 20 years. So all that to say that there are states where you've had a strong pro-life governor and a strong pro-life Congress, and they have passed pro-life legislation. And you have states where you have leadership fighting against activist judges who have overturned the will of the people when it comes to marriage and things like that. That's positive to me. But there is the political establishment, the Republican establishment, the Democratic establishment, the good old boys who've been in power. And it seems they're more interested in political gain sometimes than in doing what's right. So I am not putting my trust in the party, but I am pleased by the elections on a certain level without getting all excited over it, because I don't know what people are going to do and what stands they will take and how much change they can bring about. And I saw that we continue to pray for the president, that in his last 2 years, God would get hold of him and do something radical in him so that he will lead the nation in righteousness and in good decisions, and that there'll be a reversal of what's happened in these previous 6 years. We can still pray, can we not? Real quick, then I'm going to the phones. What are your thoughts? What are you expecting? What do you think is coming next? For better or for worse, how are you feeling the day after the elections? But I mentioned this the first hour. I just want to repeat it. For those who have a stereotype view of the Republican Party, and it's just male whites, well, what about the Hispanic leaders, the Marco Rubios and the others? Okay, well, all right. Well, how about the fact that you now have, in the state of Utah, you now have the first black Republican congresswoman, all right? How about Tim Scott in South Carolina, African-American, and the first elected in a statewide race since after the Reconstruction era of the Civil War? That's major. This is a Republican and a black man. How about other women? How about another black woman like Mia Love, right? I mentioned her, but not by name. Joni Ernst, other women elected. Just to say that there's a whole lot more racial and gender diversity than you might realize. Just to mention that. 866-34-TRUTH. Let's start in Stuart, Florida. Lori, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. I'm really excited that Republicans won. And I just want to say to all of my African-American Christian brothers and sisters, I just want to let my heart be known, because I think a false picture is painted of Republicans, and I don't think my perspective is really seen. I vote for Republican for social issues, but also because I think it's a better system to give prosperity to everybody. If I thought that liberalism could actually lift someone out of poverty, I would be very open to liberalism. Mm. But I feel that the media is able to paint a false narrative. I think that if you destroy all of the people that are prosperous in a town, you would bring everybody down to the lowest common denominator.
Right.
Then you make everybody at the lowest level, and all you have are a lot of struggling people. But if you have prosperity, and you make sure that there are ways for the people that are not doing well to attain prosperity, you can create an environment so that everyone can prosper. And what the problem is that Republicans do not reach out enough to the African-American community.
So what's your ethnicity, Lori?
I'm a white Christian.
Okay, and do you mind telling me how old you are?
I'm 52.
52, okay, a very youthful-sounding 52. I agree with everything you said, actually. I completely agree with it, and it's definitely a fault of the Republican Party to not reach out adequately. And if they say, well, we're trying, if they're not being heard, then they need to find out why they're not being heard. And yes, I do believe that there's a social responsibility that can come that can help everyone, and that prosperity nationally is a shared thing. When there's unrighteousness, the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. And that would obviously be their perception, and Republicans are just helping the rich and the big business, which of course is a false perception, and at worst an exaggerated perception. But how to reach out? I mentioned yesterday that there are black Christian leaders who say that the Democrats take the black vote for granted. And again, it seems they got about 90% of the black vote this time. So they may just take it for granted. And black Christian leaders have said, you know, you ask for our vote, you get it, but you take us for granted. You don't work with us. You don't really help us. There must be better communication, better reaching out, better interaction. And that also means sitting and listening to understand what people's needs are and issues are. Lori, thank you so much for the call. Much appreciated. 866-34-TRUTH. Last hour, I was just going through polling data from the Fox exit polls. So I was not making statements so much as going through the data. So the issue of race vote came out, and it's about 60% of whites vote Republican and 40% vote Democrat. About 90% of blacks vote Democrat, 10% vote Republican, and a little over 2/3 of Hispanics voted, according to these exit polls, voted Democrat, and 1/3 voted Republican. Among white evangelicals, though, the number is probably much higher. It could be over 80% in terms of those who vote Republican. So I had two really interesting calls from two African-American Christian women, one of whom voted Democrat and the other who voted Republican, and they each gave their perspectives. And the first caller talked about being morally, socially conservative in terms of abortion, in terms of redefining marriage, but feeling that the Republicans were not helping the poor and were not really understanding the needs of many impoverished black Americans. And hence, she voted for Democratic candidates, although she's not happy with their stance on abortion. The second caller said, hey, abortion's shedding innocent blood, period. You don't vote for a pro-abortion candidate. Of course, Many of us who warned about what President Obama would do before he was elected were not listened to. But then what about after his first term, when you knew how where he stood on abortion? How could you vote? Well, but yeah, he hadn't announced where he stood on marriage. Yeah, but we warned you about that, too. So, listen, I wish I was wrong on those things. But please hear me. Every group has blind spots. Christians have blind spots. Secular voters have blind spots. Every group has blind spots. Jewish voters have blind spots. Christian voters have blind spots. Muslim voters have blind spots. Black voters, white voters, Asian voters, Hispanic voters. We all have blind spots. And doesn't mean I don't have convictions, but I'm quite sure there is something I am missing, and you can help me with perspective. I hope I can help you. We're going right to your calls when we come back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So, in short, I am pleased with the election outcome, but I do not know what change is going to come out of this. I hope some positive change will, but ultimately it's up for to the people of God to wake up. Because change is going to begin with us seeking God, us living right, us repenting of our own sins. Then we can really help those in the society around us. All right, we're heading right to Charlotte, North Carolina. Ken, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Hello, Doctor. I concur with you 100%. I was going to a church where the Shemitah was being taught before I moved down here. And I was traveling back and forth with three black ladies when Obama first came up, and they put out a thing about Obama's views on McCain. And so McCain said waterboarding was torture. I said, good grief. I said, he's still too far to the left for me. And then they started to imply that I was racist for not even considering Obama. And I said, what, racist? I said, he voted for partial birth abortion. I said, that's the heart of a murderer. So, it got a little cool after that, but I said, I don't understand how, I said, if Howard Payne, Walter Williams, Cal Thomas, I think his name is, I said, a black man like that who understands the Constitution, I don't care about their melanin of their skin.
Yeah, Cal Thomas, by the way, is white, but Walter Williams and others are black, yeah.
I forget the other one then.
Yeah, Thomas Sowell and others. There are quite a few. Stephen Carter, outstanding conservative black leaders. Yeah, many. Yeah.
Yeah, like even now they say Ben Carson doesn't have a chance because he's too honest. But anyway, looking at this year as the Shemitah, I'm looking
for. Yeah, just for our listeners, the Shemitah being the seventh year of release that Jonathan Kahn has written about in his new book, The Mystery of the Shemitah. But yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, that was the church I was going to. And, I'm thinking about taking about 50 short positions on the S&P 500 for, maybe 4 or 5 months out. But
Ken, I can't help you with at all because I know you weren't asking for my opinion, but that goes right past me. I'm just not a stock market person. The funny thing is, my dad was really into stock markets. He died in 77. When I was 21 years old, or 22 years old, but he was really into the stock market. He'd every day be checking the newspaper where stocks were. And I remember after my bar mitzvah, he took money that we got and invested it in the stock market and, just wanted to be helpful with it and things like that. And anyway, he would sit down and talk to me. Sometimes I'd ask him questions and he'd start to explain how it worked. And then he'd get into too much detail and I lost him. And I just kind of, and it's just been like a historic thing where I kind of blanked it out. But anyway, I hope you make wise decisions and God blesses your decisions. So Ken, let me ask this. Yeah, I was reluctant to vote for McCain, super reluctant to vote for Romney, but I could not vote for Mr. Obama. I really wanted to because I wanted to have the privilege of casting a vote for the first black American president and for there to be a black family in the White House. I, I really wanted to do it. I thought that that was a great event historically and was would send out a loud message in so many ways of still bringing about progress in our nation and overcoming our terrible past. But I couldn't. I knew quite clearly he had made enough statements. Look, he vetoed. He voted against, voted against a ban on late-term abortion. The even there are pro-abortion people who reject late-term abortions, or the Partial Birth Act. It's even worse. He voted against that. When you're talking about a baby, someone tries to abort the baby, the abortion's unsuccessful, the baby's born alive, and now you're going to protect that baby. He voted against. We knew where he stood. It grieves me when people say we didn't really know what his position was. No, we knew where he stood. And I had in writing where he stood on gay activist issues. And he clearly was going to take the stance that he has. And sadly, I think he's been weak with economy and weak with national security. But to me, that look, he could be a white Jew. He could be a white, born-again Christian. My views would be just the same. In other words, it has nothing to do with race or ethnicity. It's all issues. So that's, but that's where we have to talk, because often we miss sensitive areas with others. So Ken, overall, with the Republican mandate now, do you think these men and women are actually going to do anything to bring about change, or it's going to be more of the same politics?
Oh, a lot of the contests were so close, Dr. Brown. I'm praying more now for the government than I ever had in my 40 years as being a Christian.
Yeah,
I'm pleased, as you said. I feel exactly the same way you do. Let's see what happens, but especially this being a Shemitah year, and then. We just don't know if, I think after Tishri, it'll be a year of Jubilee. But if they start going with that third temple, and who knows what's going to happen in Israel.
Yeah, now, of course, yeah, Ken, some folks listening thinking, well, you're out of your mind, man, the third temple. It seems completely impossible that it could happen. But stranger things have happened, like the Jewish people almost being wiped out in Europe. And then a few years later, having a country, having a nation, being reborn. Who could have imagined that? But anyway, I'm not focused on a third temple. I'm not focused on any of that. I am focused on seeking to please the Lord and honor Him day by day. And I got to tell you, this is kind of welcome to my world for a moment, but. It was late last night. I'm just burning. It's like, I gotta write something world changing. I gotta write something that makes an impact. Not in some legalistic burden, but just my heart's pumped. I just want to make a difference. Before the day's out. Yeah, I've been on radio and I've done other things. And I voted and taught a class. But I gotta write something. Just because of this burden in me to be that voice that makes a difference. It's my role. We each have our role. I'm not called to do what you're called to do. You're not called to do what I'm called to do. But stand with us. Pray with us. Believe God with me that my voice would be amplified and that we'd be able, if God has entrusted us with things that we and he's seen us faithful, that he would give increase so that we could reach more and more and more people. Please take advantage of this week's special resource offer. Go to my website, askdrbrown.org. Right? AskDrBrown.org. When you go there, right on the resource offer, no hype, but we have limited supplies. We have limited supplies of a stealth agenda that you get free with my debate with gay activist Harry Knox. And when you go there, just click on the homepage resource offer and then click on the video to watch, all right? Just 2 minutes, 2-3 minutes, you'll be blessed. 1-800-278-9978 to take advantage of this. 1-800-278-9978 while supplies last.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the line of fire, my post-election reflections. In a moment, I want to talk about pitfalls to avoid if we want to bring about cultural change through the gospel. Pitfalls to avoid. I think you'll find this very helpful. But if you want to weigh in the day after the elections, how are you feeling about the vote? Do you expect change will come? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. I'll try to get to some more calls, but I do have a lot of other material I want to get through. Last night, when I was thinking about writing on one subject, which was to let you know, with so many pro-life candidates being elected, with so many moral conservatives being elected, that you're going to have more and more people saying, look out, this is Christian Sharia law, they're trying to impose our morality on us, and all this, that I was going to write a fresh article. Then I realized, you know, I wrote an article 2 years ago, right before the elections, October of 2012, that's totally relevant today. So I'm going to repost it with an extra line or two at the beginning, an extra line or two at the end. It is now up. It's online. With the Republican victory, watch for charges of, quote, Sharia law. So let me encourage you to read that by going to Ask Dr. Brown, askdrbrown.org, and click on latest article. We'll see if my perspective is accurate, but I expect this. I expect to see an increase in this hysterical talk, this completely unhinged talk that Christians who stand for pro-life values, Christians who stand for biblical values of marriage and family, that they are trying to impose Sharia law on us. I mean, it's so absurd that even to say it is to make a mockery of it. But because some folks on the left use these terms, as I document here and as I've documented since quite a few times, well, we need to be prepared to overcome this nonsense, this rhetoric, with good. Also, some of my articles get hundreds and hundreds of comments, and in those cases, I don't even try to read the comments. And then the articles can be posted on many different websites. It could be multiplied thousands and thousands of comments. So obviously, I don't have time to read them as much as I'd like to. But there are only a few comments in response to this article. It's being shared a good amount, but only a dozen comments on one particular website. And I noticed that one gentleman named Diaris took opportunity in response to my article to defend President Obama and to criticize Republicans. I thought that's odd, because my article's not about that. It's just, he can do what he wants in the comment section. But I thought that's very odd, because the article's not even about these elections. It was about 2 years ago, and it was about the charge that conservative Christians were akin to Sharia-like extremists and terrorists. That's what I was writing about. So I wasn't saying, hey, the Republicans won. Isn't that the most amazing, wonderful thing ever? That wasn't even the point of it. But the thing that I find a little bit bothersome is this idea. Okay, you had the White House for 8 years under Bush and nothing changed. Actually, President Bush was a strong pro-life president. And pro-life organizations have celebrated his accomplishments and said that there were positive things that happened. There has been terribly negative movement in that regard under President Obama. And even if you go back to economic collapse, well, that took place towards the end of the Bush administration, what was that based on? It was all these loans falling through, the housing market collapsing, and these zero interest loans that the president had opposed, President Bush had opposed. But in any case, if we look at our debt now, and some have said that President Obama has increased our debt more than anybody, any president before, and most of them all combined, I mean, the point of the article wasn't even to attack President Obama or to praise Republicans. No such thing. And my hope is not in the Republican Party. I just found those comments one-sided, inaccurate, and odd, to be honest.
Fire we plead, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to The Line of Fire, my post-election reflections. 866-34-TRUTH. One more comment about voting on certain issues, and then I want to give you pitfalls to watch out for if you are one of those who wants to see change come through the gospel. All right? I am basically a three-issue voter. That's just my focus, okay? I know that there are other issues that are critically important, many issues that are critically important. The immigration issue and how we handle that is massively important. Economy is always massively important. Our national security is always massively important. When I say economy, of course, that also takes in helping those in need and trying to raise up the poor, etc. Those are all things that are important. However, for me, look, this is my viewpoint. I think everyone should share it, okay? Under no circumstances can I vote for a candidate who's pro-abortion. If abortion is indeed the shedding of innocent blood, if that indeed is a life in the womb, then there is no reason to take that life anymore than to take a life of a child outside the womb because that child was the product of rape or incest, or because that child is going to have certain deformities or needs. Look, there is a tremendous war on children with Down syndrome. What is it, something like 90%? That's what I've heard anyway, of children with Down syndrome are aborted. You say, well, you don't know what it's like to have a kid with Down syndrome. No, I don't. I don't. But I know enough families that do and parents that do. And whatever struggles they have and issues and trials because of the health needs of that child, that child is a blessing in their lives. And the only exception I could see for abortion is if it is to physically save the life of the mother and you have to choose which life is taken, then you go with the certain life that is already here. But even that is a difficult debate, obviously. Redefining marriage, gay activist issues, these are non-negotiables to me. These are foundational. You see how redefining marriage has massive effect in so many other areas, from education. You see what's portrayed in the media. You see, ultimately, the war on religious liberties. And then Israel. I believe it's critically important that we stand with Israel. It does not mean sanctioning everything Israel does, but standing with Israel. So when I see candidates that are strong in those ways, I don't check everything else. Why? Because I'm going to vote for them. If I'm voting between that person, unless they're a corrupt individual, right? And they have a history of corruption. They just got out of jail and they're unrepentant, corrupt. Okay. And all this is just show, taking stands for these other issues. But for me, it's really clear. They stand on those issues. Those are life and death issues. Read through the Bible and you'll see that there were major sins for which God judged Israel. You'll see repeatedly idolatry, immorality, injustice, shedding of innocent blood at the top of the list with injustice. You'll see that's a reason that God brings judgment on a nation because of the shedding of innocent blood. And then we see the tremendous importance of gender distinction, the tremendous importance of marriage and family as God established it. And I'm convinced that biblically it's important to stand with Israel. Yes, I am one of those who believes that America will be in even more serious trouble if we don't stand properly with Israel. And I'm concerned about the breakdown in relationship between President Obama and Prime Minister Netanyahu. Absolutely. And being in Israel and talking to Israelis, they have tremendous suspicion as to whether President Obama stands with them. And they felt that George Bush was a true friend, even though he advocated for a two-state solution as well. So these are critically important issues, I believe, in God's sight. So if I see there's a pro-abortion candidate who's also pro-gay activist, I'm not even going to bother to look at anything else. I see the other candidate stands the other way on those things, and most likely they're going to be strong on Israel. If they're pro-life and pro-marriage and family, they're probably going to be strong on Israel as well. Is that just a coincidence, or is there something to that? Something to think about. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay. I want to see America changed. We probably all do in different ways. You know, you may be pro-abortion. You want to see America changed. You may be pro-gay activist. You want to see America changed. You may be for redistribution of wealth and socialism. You want to see America changed. All right? We each have our own viewpoints and agendas. I want to see America changed. How do I want to see it changed? How do I want to see America changed? How will the change come about? Well, voting has a role. Voting plays a role. The political system has a role, plays a role, but it is only part of the bigger picture. So the first pitfall is to forget that our battle is spiritual. Our battle is primarily spiritual. Ephesians 6, a well-known verse, Paul said, we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with spiritual powers, with demonic powers. Someone might say, how dare you say it's demonic powers behind abortion? Well, if abortion is the shedding of innocent blood, well, then this is a very serious violation of life and something very heinous in God's sight. And it's not just choices that people make. There are demonic powers. Remember that those demonic powers hate the abortion doctors, and they hate the mothers having abortions, and they hate the baby in the womb. They want to destroy everybody. They are equal opportunity destroyers. So one thing is we can forget that our battle is spiritual. We can forget that our battle is spiritual. That's major. I don't have earthly enemies. Oh, let me make this clear. Plenty of people count me their enemy. Plenty of people hate me. Plenty of people look at me as an enemy. But I don't have earthly enemies. I'm not mad at people. People oppose me in the body, outside of the body. I pray for them, and I want to see God's best for them. They're not my enemies. But if I forget the battle spiritual, I'm going to put so much emphasis on natural things and neglect what matters most, which is prayer and seeking the face of God and doing what's right spiritually and reaching out through the gospel. Look, the greatest thing that can happen is revival in the church that spills out into the world and lost sinners get radically saved and come to know God and the beauty of forgiveness of sins and new life in Him. Praise God. That's going to be greater than any election result. A second pitfall is leaning on the arm of flesh. Leaning on the arm of flesh. And by that I mean, and it's the natural next step if you forget that our battle is spiritual, is that we are looking to elected officials to do God's work. Now, look, I want elected officials to vote righteously. I want elected officials to stand for right issues. However, my trust is not in the political party. I'm glad Republicans won for a number of reasons, but I don't know that in 2 years they won't be thrown out and Democrats might win over them. I don't know. They may be a complete bust. They may be trying to be so politically correct that they don't stand for what's right. Number three, mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. Mistaking patriotism for the kingdom of God. What do I mean by that? I want America to be blessed by God. I want America to experience God's favor. I love my country. But I do not associate patriotism with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is bigger than any nation. This is God's rule, God's reign around the world. And if I mistake patriotism for the kingdom of God, then I would be thinking, God bless America more than your kingdom come to America. In other words, I would be thinking, God make us bigger and better and stronger and more prosperous, whereas he may have to bring us down first. He may have to judge us for our many sins. He may have to deal with us because of our ugly guilt in so many areas before he can bless us. So, you know, I'm not just chanting USA, 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 although I love my country and support my country. I much more am saying, Lord, your kingdom come to America. Number four, relying on the political system. Number five, becoming one track in our focus where we forget evangelism, we forget discipleship, we forget many other things. Number six, taking our eyes off of eternal issues. Number seven, extremism, where we're no longer people of God in the Spirit, walking in love. Number eight, hindering our gospel witness through activism. Boy, that's a tough one. Reach out and resist. That's what we've done with homosexual issues. But as I've stood for righteousness, of course, I am hated. I'm hated for many others. And then misunderstanding the nature of our authority as if we can just take over. That's my list. I've just run through it quickly because I want to get your calls on the other side of the break. We'll be right back.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Welcome back, friends, to the Line of Fire, 866-34-TRUTH. Yeah, I want to see change. I did vote. I believe voting is important, but it's one component. It's one component. And if you put your trust in the political system, you're going to be disappointed. Even though there are godly politicians and righteous politicians and hardworking politicians, if you put your trust in the system, with so much deadlock and gridlock that we have and with so many long-term politicians who are long-term politicians, you're going to be disappointed. And look, when you rise to fame and power the way President Obama did and speaking to these massive crowds around the world, and as I said earlier, you get the Nobel Peace Prize before you've really done anything, people are going to be disappointed. I mean, that's a given. Because no one's going to live up to those expectations. Rockstar presidencies, not gonna cut it. It's not going to happen. By the way, I'm not saying that to criticize President Obama. I'm saying to say when you, and you know my massive differences with him on many issues, but when somehow you rise up like that and you come into office, with our system and with our world, people are going to be pretty disappointed pretty quick because nobody is going to be able to be a rock star president with our divided nation. Unless God was supernaturally with them, it's not going to happen. To the phones, back in Charlotte, North Carolina, Rachel, welcome to the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
I'm very new to the station and your program, but I'm so glad that I found it because it gives me a lot of inspiration on my drive to and from work.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
And I hear your passion when it comes to unity amongst people, regardless of race, especially as Christians, we really need to stick together. And I'm not sure if you're the same host who commented on Reverend Al Sharpton a few weeks ago.
Yeah, that was me. That although I differ with him on so many points, I thought that he raised some right points in the Michael Brown funeral, which is my name as well. Yeah, I'm the same person.
Okay. So I listened to, that was one of the first times I heard you, and I was, you know, really kind of hurt after that, even though I know what your position, what you meant.
Uh-huh.
As an African-American female who has sons, I have never had anyone in my family be taken down by gang violence or anything, but your excitement over Reverend Sharpton's correction of African-American behavior there, but you didn't do it regarding the police brutality towards those people. It kind of said to me, this is the lack of understanding that exists.
Mm-hmm. If I can just jump in, first, thank you so much for continuing to listen and for starting off with such a gracious statement when I had offended you the first time. That says a lot for you, so thank you. And I can only say this in my defense, that I have said time and again that my perspective is limited, that I have never been racially profiled, that I have never been in a situation where I'm just assumed guilty because of the color of my skin, or I'm more likely to get a, 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 stiffer prison sentence because of the color of my skin. So I've many, many times have addressed these things over the years and said that a blind spot among white Americans is when there really is racism, we don't see it. And then I've said on the flip side, sometimes with black Americans, a blind spot can be that then when there isn't racism, it is seen. So I've said the other thing so many times that in that context, I'm sure I felt right to say, here's what I feel was a good comment by Reverend Sharpton. And I think if you listen enough that you'll hear that constantly from me. But if any way I said things was offensive from the heart, I apologize, because I'm always trying to speak in a way that is truthful and honest and is not insensitive. But anyway, I just wanted to say that to you.
I really didn't feel offended by what you said in regards to Al Sharpton, because I don't agree with him. I've disagreed with him quite a bit over the years myself.
Yeah.
I'm pretty conservative, even though I've voted for both sides over the years, because I am not married to a party.
Yeah.
But I guess I would love for that same rejoicing to go on with a correction of the officers and the men who are taking the lives of these young black men, that they will be corrected, and that thought of people who feel that it's okay to do this will be challenged.
Yeah, I can only say that I believe I've done that, and that I've asked for folks to weigh in with different perspectives, and that where there is police brutality, we still don't have a final verdict on what happened with Darren Wilson and Michael Brown, but that where these things exist, look, I don't know what the ethnicities were, but I was just driving in to the office, and I heard on the news that two policemen in New York are being arraigned now because there was a teenage boy, maybe 16 or something like that, who had been smoking pot. And whatever the violation was, or dealing drugs, whatever, some pot-related violation, and they grabbed him, one punched him in the face, and the other apparently hit him with the gun until the guy fell to the ground. And you know what I said to myself? This is just between me and God driving, but I'll make the conversation public now. I was saying to myself, yeah, and look, I stand with authority, and I know there are many policemen that risk their lives for justice, you know, black, white, Hispanic, Asian, every day. And they are casualties as well. But as I was hearing that, I said to myself, yeah, there's a lot of bad stuff that happens where the kid shouldn't have been doing what he was doing with drugs, but to get beat up by police, you know, if this is actually the case. So I was just saying to myself driving that there's a whole perspective that, and again, it didn't announce the ethnicities. So I have no idea who was who. Could have been a white kid and black cops for all I know, but I reminded myself that there's a perspective that African-Americans have towards justice, towards the police, towards the court system, which is very different from what white Americans have. So I think about this all the time, Rochelle, and I've tried to talk about it many times on the air as well. And look, when we saw a nation divided over OJ, that was educational for me, because I thought, wow, there's a reason that all of these African-Americans mistrust the justice system, and many of them are fine Christians. And so I've got to run. I've got a break right now. So let's have this conversation another day. All right. And Roger, I'd love to talk to you about Latino polling data, another critical issue, but we're out of time. But by all means, we have these conversations because we must hear one another's perspectives. So I'm all ears, Rochelle. Bless you for the call. I hope we can continue to bring inspiration to you and others. But I'm out of time. Got to run. Would you please pray for me, especially the next 24 hours? Can I ask you for that? Going to be running until I get to the airport tonight. Fly to Hungary about 18 hours from leaving my house to arriving at the hotel in Hungary. And then right after there, got to run and do radio live from Hungary. Yeah, it's going to be exciting. AskDrBrown.org. Make sure you take advantage of the special offer. Supplies are limited. My bottom line today, we're going to keep having conversations about politics, about race, about things that divide us, and we're going to keep learning from each other.